And welcome to After Hours, Jay Binkley. What's going on tonight, my friend?
How you doing, Bink?
Good Jackson, to be here. Jackson the man. Jackson Ogden.
How's it going?
No relation to Jonathan.
Still no relation.
Still no. I guess there's some podcast being released tonight. Right about now, right?
Really? Haven't heard of it.
I mean, I guess. I thought that was our Character Concerns podcast that went out, you know, this morning.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, we were usually released it on Tuesdays, a little bit different because I did the drive on Monday, so we released it today, right? Someone sent it to me with the logo that was orange.
Yeah.
Because that's what, you know, she's doing, the old orange logo and stuff. But obviously it's going to – but, hey, we did defensive line previews. You'd like it, Jackson. We did defensive line previews, defensive end. We did outside linebackers, edge. I mean, we've gone the whole position groups on college football – oh, probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, and now we're on the week zero for next weekend because it gets started next weekend.
Love it. K-State, Iowa State, and Ireland.
Yeah, it's going to be Kansas, too, gets rolling, too. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun weekend. This is your last weekend. Like, this is the last Honeydew weekend, isn't it? Like, hey, let's go to the state Saturday night. Is that what you want to do? You know, the wife, whatever, girlfriend, whatever, you take them out. I don't know about you, Jackson. I don't know your situation, but is this kind of like your last hurrah before you kind of settle in and watch football?
I am single as a Pringle, but okay. It still is, you know, if I'm going to go do things on a Saturday or Sunday, this is kind of the last stretch if you're going to get me out of the house on those days. Other than that, it's time for football.
I mean, it could be your last, you know, rock going to a bar on Saturday night.
It really could.
You're going to sit in, lock in on college football because, man, it is tough to concentrate on one game on Saturday nights. Now, this week will be a lot easier, but don't forget the 30th. We got Texas and Ohio State going at it.
Banger
and
then, to start the season.
And then we get the NFL start with the Chiefs in Brazil on Friday night on YouTube. I mean, it's going to be 96.5 The Fan. We'll have it too for you. So it's going to be crazy, but we're starting. Like, people don't realize it, but once I reference Oktoberfest beer, which it is, once it hits the shelves, guess what? Kids are back at school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that summer's over. You know, summer hitting the pools and all that. Yep. That stuff is gone, even though we're sitting here, what, August 13th? I mean, it's still summer. I think next week's like in the 90s, 94, 95.
It's
going to
be a toasty one. Yeah, it's going to be toasty.
Yeah, but still, fall's here. And that's what sucks with the heat. Like, the heat's still here. You know, you're like, you're ready for fall. Like, you're ready for the leaf change. You're ready for fall and football, my friend.
That first Sunday of the fall where it's a cool breeze, nice day, it always hits different. You know, you got red zone on. Whatever you may be watching, probably not the Chiefs because they'll be in prime time on a Thursday, a Friday, Monday night, you know, so you're probably just watching other teams, but man, it's always a great feeling to get back to it. We're almost there. Off season's almost over.
Well, Jackson, we get two nights of this night and tomorrow night.
Heck
talk
yeah.
Some football and some baseball.
We're going to do
things
it.
Like that. Did you happen to watch the Royals game this afternoon?
I did, Bink.
Yeah?
Yeah. Frustrating.
Yeah? It was. Describe to me. Nationals win the game 8-7. Describe to me your thoughts. And by the way, our phone number is 913-586-7965. Same as Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Describe to me how you watched this game. What were your feelings throughout this game? Maybe in the first inning when they were bombed 5-0 at that point. But then you knew the Nationals, well, they're second to last in total pitching, but the relievers are 100% dead last.
It's not very good.
In pitching, they're not good. So just withstand it, be close to it, and then dominate at the end against the relievers.
Yeah, I mean, I think off the bat, again, another bad start for Lugo. That's concerning. You extend him right before the trade deadline. You decide to hold on to him, and he got shelled in his last start. He got shelled again in this start, obviously giving up 5 in the top of the first.
Afternoons, man. Lugo's awesome, but these afternoons, man.
I
like Lugo. I'm glad they gave Mixer.
I do, too.
I'm glad he's not going anywhere.
I do,
but I was confident. You're like, hey, you got stuff Lugo going today.
You feel good.
Go for the sweep. You got Lugo.
You do feel good with Lugo on the bump going for the sweep. He obviously didn't have it today, unfortunately. But I will say, earlier in the season, if we got down 5-0 in the top of the first, I probably would have just turned it off.
Oh, 100%.
Just been like, it's over. 100%. If we got down 2-0 earlier in the season, you were like, well, there goes that game.
Well, I'm with you. And it's frustrating to see 5 runs being put up by the Nationals in that first inning. And you're like, okay. Then the Royals strike back with 2 there in the first inning. So they're within 3. And you start saying, all right, start to, you know, come together. Then, of course, the fourth inning hit, the 3 runs. Then you tie it up. Then you tie it up in the 8th. You're like, okay. It's on now. Yeah, it's on there. Now. You know, forget about what just happened. Lugo, bad day. I get it. But just, you know, the Royals still, you know, sit there with one of the best pitching staffs in Major League Baseball. So just get it at a fourth in Major League Baseball in ERA. Fourth. Number two in the AL. But starters, they're fourth in baseball still. But number two in AL, despite what happened today to Lugo. The relievers, different story. They're 12th in Major League Baseball, 8th in the American League. Behind people like the White Sox, believe it or not, in Cleveland, that you wouldn't say, and obviously that's without Clase or Ortiz in that situation or Cleveland. I'm shocked at the way they're playing, to be quite honest with you. I'm shocked they've actually passed the Yankees as a third wild card a couple nights ago. And then all of a sudden Cleveland passes them again. One good thing about Cleveland, Royals are 4-5 against them. And the tiebreaker is head-to-head season series that you have. So the Royals still trail the Rangers as far as trying to get to the wild card. The Rangers aren't in it, too, but they're trying to. But the Royals do have a sweep against the Rangers. They do have the Rangers coming up for four at the gate. It's very possible the Royals, you know, they need to win. They win half
one.
Of those.
You just got to take one and you get the season series.
Well, two, so at least get to five.
Do you need – is it a four-game?
It's a four-gamer.
Okay.
It's a four-gamer. So at least get that, and you know, you can split it, still get it. Yankees, no.
No.
They don't have, and they're 4-5 against Cleveland.
It's possible.
So, and they got three in Cleveland coming up, and Cleveland's been red hot.
Yeah, I mean, I did not expect that out of the Guardians, especially with the problems they've had with the gambling, with whether it be Clase or some of their other guys that they've gotten in trouble with, and really didn't do much at the deadline. Like, I know there was talks about trading Stephen Kwan. They end up hanging on to him. They don't really bring in anybody.
But for that team, that's good, man. You don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. They have relatively few stars. It's Ramirez and Kwan.
You know, they do trade Bieber to Toronto, and we'll see what that looks like. He obviously had Tommy John last year. He hasn't pitched this year at the big leagues yet. But yeah, Cleveland, again, man, they're just playing good ball, and it's kind of surprising. The Royals just feel like every time they're going to make a run, every time that they have the opportunity to get into that third wild card, make a run, make some sort of ground up, They just can't do it.
I've just been that way. Just get to the tournament. Because, again, it doesn't matter, man. If you're second wild card, third wild card, who cares? Just get to the dance. Like, just get to the dance.
Right.
You know, 2 years ago, Texas and the Diamondbacks played in the World Series, right?
Both wild cards.
That was the number two and the number three wild card. Right. And Texas barely was the second. They were the second by just one game. Like, it matters.
Well, baseball is the one sport, Bink, that getting in the dance is really all you have to do. Because in the NFL.
With this pitching staff? Right. I mean, get to the dance because this pitching staff can win the postseason.
Especially if Reagans can come back. I mean, you're just talking about even more depth there in the rotation. But in baseball, you see wildcard teams make the World Series. You don't really see 6 or 7 seeds in the NFL make the Super Bowl. You don't really see 8 seeds, 7 seeds in the NBA playoffs make the finals. Same goes for hockey, you know. But baseball, man, if you have a good rotation, anything can happen. And the Royals do have a good rotation, even though Lugo hasn't been pitching his best recently. You still expect him to pick it up. And guys like Noah Cameron, Michael Wacha, they've been solid. Burgert coming over, he's been fantastic.
I really like Burgert, what he can do. And Falter, I mean, it was better than the first appearance when Bailey Falter went out there, but still some work to do. By the way, they're tied. They've split with Seattle 2-2. They do have Seattle coming to Kansas City for 3. So, again, I look at the Royals' schedules. You know, I was telling this the other day on the drive when we were doing it, maybe Friday or Monday, I can't remember which one it was, but we were talking about the schedule coming up. It's like, all right, well, you got Texas for 4. It sits right in front of you. Seattle's, you know, in the wild card now. You got them 3 at the K. You know, you got these series. You got to go to Cleveland still, and you got 6 against Detroit. I mean, you got these teams in front of you. We could do damage, but nothing looked better than this homestand for the Royals. You got the Nationals coming in, right? And make no mistake about it. I know the Nationals won today, but that team sucks.
They're bad.
They do. They're the second worst record in the National League. I get it. The Royals won 2 out of 3. You're not going to throw a parade for that. You're not. They're sitting in May anymore where you beat them 2 out of 3. You know what they are. You know who they are. You won 2 out of 3. You had a chance today. You kept fighting. You came back, but you didn't get the job done. But it was right there in front of them because you had 6 straight games against the worst record, the absolute worst record in the American League coming up with the White Sox, who's not been playing well lately. I understand that, you know, since June, they have more wins than the Yankees and all that, but they've been bad lately. I don't know if you've seen them, but they had lost, what, 7 of the last 8? I don't know what
they came out a little hot out of the break.
They did.
I think they're still 12-12 since the All-Star break, but you're right. As of late, they haven't been playing good ball at all.
As of late, they're not been playing
And neither have the Nationals. And, Bink, I don't know if you know this, but the last time the Royals, a series that the Royals played in, ended in a sweep, either them getting swept or them sweeping their opponent, you got to go back to July 7th through the 9th against Pittsburgh. 9 consecutive series now after today that have not ended in a sweep.
Pittsburgh, and then before that was what, Texas?
Yeah, I believe so. So, I mean, the Royals aren't getting swept. That's one good thing, but they're also not able to sweep the teams that they really need to if they want to make the playoffs.
I mean, they're crazy in those decision games at the end.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, outside of the debacle that happened on Sunday in Minnesota where they went 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position, they have been fantastic in the final games of series.
Well, Chicago has lost 8 of the last 10.
Yeah, they're not playing
good ball. And that's who's coming to the K. But you need to sweep. You need to sweep the Nationals and you need to sweep the White Sox. When you look at that and said, all right, this team to make a run. At home. You're at home. You're back at home. You've got the second worst record in the National League coming. And that's only because the Rockies completely suck.
Yeah.
And then you got the White Sox. And, oh, by the way, you have Texas, a team you know very well. You share spring training facilities with them. And the fact you swept them in Texas. And the offense looked good at that point. You're like, oh, what's going on with the Royals? And then they, you know, receded back to the mean against the Padres after that. But it's all right in front of them. And I said, you know, after this homestand, you'll find who and what the Royals are. They're 4.5 games back now. Of course, the games we played tonight, but they sit back 4.5 at this point. But it was right in front of them. You'll find out who and what this team is. And if you wanted to wait, because I know Drew, that produces Cody and Golden, you know, put out there, hey, why is everybody down on the Royals? You know, they're still. Well, he was right. I mean, they were still in it, you know, just 4 games back.
They still are in it. Yeah.
They are still in it. The minute you want to put dirt on them, they're hanging around,
man.
They're lingering around. The Royals are lingering around trying to sneak you back in. And the hitting's been better because you're not losing
for sure
those 1-0 games. Just like against Boston. You know, you fall down early in the game. You know, you're getting no hit. Then all of a sudden you turn it around and you start scoring some runs. And then you got people like Bobby. Bobby's always going to be consistent. But you got Vinny absolutely tearing the absolute living hell out of the baseball right now. And Vinny's been that way basically except for the first month of the
outside
season.
Outside of April, yeah.
He's already got 80 ribs. He's going to hit 100. He's going to hit 25 home runs and have over 100 RBI.
He would have had well over 100 last year.
Vinny's been fine. The Pasquatch has been fine.
He would have had well over 100 last year if he didn't get hurt at the end of August and missed all of September. He's at 97 by the end of August.
He was at 97. They would have been the only team in baseball with 3 guys over 100 ribs.
He is – a lot of the offense comes down to him. When he produces, they're an entirely different offense. Same with Perez. You know, Bobby and, you know, even Garcia in his breakout year can only do so much. And I really do like what they've brought in recently. The veteran bats. Frazier's been really good for them ever since coming back.
They didn't throw in the towel.
Grichuk has been doing a solid job. Then Yedoremski, I like him in the leadoff spot more than I've liked India.
Oh, yes?
In the leadoff spot.
Strzemski?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, India's accepted his role. I like that. But Vinny, man, 9 ribs and 2 home runs the last 2 games, man. Dude's got 24 ribs.
He's
the All-Star break.
He is hitting the ball well. It's kind of what you were hoping coming into the year. You wonder.
And Adam Frazier, man. Give it up to him. He brought them up, but yeah, Adam Frazier, man.
He was batting, I don't know if he still is, but he was batting over 300 since he came back.
Like, it's coming together, but maybe too late, a little too late. But the Royals are what they are. I heard Rob say, you know, what they are is an average team. That's what the record
they're
is.
They're 81-81.
They're in 75% of the season's been played. They are what they are. They're a average team. As they said, it's a 9-8 football team.
Which
or 8-9 football team. They're not great.
No.
They're not bad. They're just right there in the middle.
Which isn't horrible, because 2 years ago, they were 106-loss team. So if you put it into perspective, yes, because we made the playoffs last year and won a playoff series, your expectations for the franchise go higher. But you have to understand, this team is still only 2 years removed from being 56-106. If they finish this year 81-81, I still like a lot of the core they have moving forward.
Well, I like the pitching staff going into next year.
Of course. They added so much depth to it. I mean, we talked about Burgert, Falter, and then is it Kolek they got in the trade with Fermin as well?
Yeah, and he's in AAA.
So he'll be an arm that they can work with as well. So,
but you look at Houston for the top three wild cards in American League: Houston, Boston, and then the Yankees. The Yankees said just won over Cleveland. I mean, they've been battling back and forth with Cleveland. And I do think the Yankees are a better team. Clearly not playing better at this point. Cleveland, I'm shocked that they're still in it and playing well. And then there's the Texas Rangers. Well, the good news is the Royals still have a series against the Guardians. They still have 4 games coming up at the K against Texas. You got to win those games. You have to win those games. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You can't be close. You can't be losing these games late in the game. You have to win them. You have to win the game.
I came into this homestand saying they have to go 7-3 or 8-2.
Oh, I thought so too. At least 7.
6-4 isn't going to cut it.
It's still in play.
With where it is, because they're 2-1 on it. Like, you don't have to sweep the Nationals. I would say you really, really could use a sweep against the White Sox. Easier said than done, but you could really use it. And then if you could find a way to take 3 or 4 from Texas.
Yeah, but playoff teams don't do that. They don't lose at the end to a bad baseball team. They just don't do it. I mean, they're an average team.
playoff teams do not lose the game they lost on Sunday to Minnesota and the game they lost today to Washington.
You don't lose two out of three to a team that sold off everybody, but a team that's believing in themselves with the younger players getting elevated.
They beat Detroit in the series, though, to be fair.
I know they did, but Detroit is playing bad, and I mean real bad. Cleveland has gained, 11.5 games on them in the last 27. I mean, they have put it down, and they've been bad.
They've really struggled since the All-Star break. It really felt like they came out of the gates, and not that people thought the Tigers weren't going to be good this year because they obviously finished last year so hot, but they came out of the gates this year, and I was like, is this the best team in baseball? They are playing unreal baseball.
Well, we'll see what they can do, and hopefully they can turn it around. They are fun to watch. I do enjoy watching it, but these losses are painful, man. I mean, that was a painful game today. Very painful. 816 says it's going to suck to have to keep talking about a dead team. Shaking my head. Well, not really, because there's another team that's playing on Friday night named the Kansas City Chiefs, so there's still plenty to talk about. You hope you can talk about both of them. I mean, that's great.
That was great last year.
You know, you used to say, can the Royals keep it interesting until the Chiefs get to camp?
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, they push through and make the postseason, same year as the Chiefs, look good. You know, things are going well in Kansas City, they look good. But you're going to have the Chiefs to talk about, and it's all you're going to be talking about here. Very, if you're not already. I mean, yeah, you're watching the Royals. You're talking about the Royals. The Royals are still on every single night. You're talking about that. But you know what? Let's talk about that team. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and kind of what you're going to have to expect Friday night, which it's getting a little preseason football is getting a little dull. Anyway, we'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden. They said over 1.1 million. They're going to crash that thing, right? Imagine if they would have charged like $1 or $2. They would have got it. I mean, they would have got it easily. You would think they would have got it.
Swifties don't play.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we probably got about 300 or 400 on the podcast, maybe. Like, not now, but like eventually.
Just got to get Taylor Swift on.
Yeah, that includes my mom hitting it a bunch of times or me, you know?
Yeah.
Or you, Jax. You might listen to it just to hear some.
I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to rack up the numbers so you can compete with the new Heights podcast tonight.
Some draft talk. Man, it's going to be a fun draft, man.
I'm already looking forward to it.
You know, the 27 ones when those receivers start really shining.
Oh, yeah.
I've got it marked down already. I mean, I'm looking at these Chiefs, and yeah, tight ends are going to be something they're going to have to think about. Although, I know that when I go on with Dusty and Bob on Wednesday mornings, it's real early, their poll question was, who would you rather see come back for yet another year, Sal Perez or Travis Kelce?
Saw that today.
And I just went Travis because I don't like the tight end class.
Yeah.
I mean, Eli Stowers is way up there, but I don't think he's going to be okay pro and all that. But I mean, the tight end class isn't great. But I will say this. I think the Chiefs will be in position to get a running back, and it'll be a lot earlier than the seventh round. Not going to be first round. Doesn't need to be second round. But starting in the third round, it's not going to be like Rashard this year in the seventh round because, you know, Pacheco going to go on his merry way.
Well, the last time.
And Kareem Hunt is, you know, 30-year-old plateau, so.
The last time they took a running back before the seventh round was Clyde. So, I mean, you think about that.
And it didn't work out. That's why I wouldn't do it in the first
round. I wouldn't do it in the first round either, but the point is, like, yeah, they're eventually going to have to invest more than a seventh round pick in a back.
But do you see, I'm thinking running back to go. And, of course, defensive back is something they always do. So you always can count on a Noel Williams type.
For sure.
Someone that I liked. By the way, I'm really looking forward to seeing him Friday night. You know, speaking of Friday night's game, you know, Andy Reid pretty much set the tempo today on the last practice. Training camp's over, believe it or not. It's just gone.
Flies by.
Done today. They'll come back. They got to make the cuts on the 27th, bring 90 down to 53. They used to do it in increments, the cuts. I'm glad they do it the way they do it now. Just
get it over
all
with.
All at once.
Get it over with.
Then you see your practice squad, you check out. And it's nerve-wracking being on the end of that roster.
Oh, the bubble's always tough.
Because everybody can look at that practice squad. You know of other teams. Just because you went to camp with the Chiefs doesn't mean you're going to be on the Chiefs because you're sitting on that bubble and you call mama that you made the team, and then all of a sudden they see who's on the practice squad on our team and poach them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a brutal time of year. I mean, especially if you watch Hard Knocks, you get to see all those guys fighting, battling for those final roster spots. And it's cutthroat. It really is. You feel bad for those guys that don't quite make it, but it's also on the flip side, you feel great for those guys that grind it out and earn those final roster spots.
No, you do. And, of course, you mentioned Hard Knocks. Chiefs Kingdom on tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
It starts tomorrow night. First two episodes tomorrow night, I think it starts at 8. Chiefs are just kind of dominating the well, I guess the internet tonight, the television tomorrow night. But I'm actually looking forward to that. Actually, it's going to be nice because those reporters were embedded, but you didn't really – they were kind of stayed out of the way. I mean, they even commented. They kind of just stayed out of the way. But it's got a lot of Chiefs history. You know, a lot about the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's not just me all about the season because we know what happens. But I guess the Titanic was still a good movie, right?
Yeah.
But even though you know the boat sank, you know what was going to happen.
You're going to watch it.
Watched it.
You're going to watch it.
You know, the Eagles win the whole damn thing. So, I mean,
we're going to watch it.
It's got to conjure some memories up there. But, like, episode two is all about Andy Reid.
It's going to be fun.
Like, it is focused in on Andy Reid. Then the following week, it'll be the other four episodes. I think two one night on the 19th and two of them on the 20th. But right there on ESPN. And the funny thing is, they've got billboards up in Buffalo. And there was one other place, too. I might have been Dallas. Says, like, 969 miles to the kingdom. Or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
ESPN actually put these billboards. I mean, they're totally trolling.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure they're taking that well. I'm sure that fan base loves seeing that.
You know what? They'll say they're not going to watch it. You know, if you're in Seattle or Buffalo or Baltimore, I'm not going to watch that. You know what? You probably will. You're so starved for football stuff. And, you know, you kind of want to see where your team sits, why they sit where they sit, what do they need to get to where the Chiefs are, and that would be interesting. I mean, that's why I would watch it. If this was happening with another team, if this is the Patriots, I would have watched it.
I was going to ask, Bink,
I would have watched it. I would have watched it because
Did you watch the Patriots special that I think it was on Apple TV that they had, a documentary? I don't know how many parts it was.
I just want to know why they got good. Like, that's interesting. Yeah, why are they as good as they are?
If you're not where the Chiefs are and you want to be there, I feel like it's interesting as a football fan to watch how the best team in the NFL over the last 7 years has become the best team in the NFL over the past 7 years.
But regardless, the Chiefs play at 9 o'clock on Friday night. I don't know if you've set your schedule for that. I'll be watching. I'm going to enjoy watching it. And social media does a great job. Man, they break down everything. No, there's no hiding. They'll show every one of the snaps of Jalen Moore at right tackle. They show the 11 there of Isaiah Kingsley Suamatia and Josh Simmons next to each other, and you can make your assumption there. The good news is it looks like the offensive line will play intact throughout much of the first. Like, that's the important thing. Now, Mahomes, he was working with the scout team yesterday. Minshew's starting.
Yeah.
Or today. Minshew was out there. Mahomes is still one with the scout team. Kelsey was on that team with him. The high-profile guys and Chris Jones, they won't play. And, you know, this is not the way it used to be. The way it used to be, preseason game three was the important one, and your guys essentially played a half. Or they would play into the third quarter. They would do that. That's just how football was done.
It used to be the fourth one. None of them played, right?
None of them played.
When there used to be four. It used to be one and two. They play a little
guys.
Bit. Three, they play at least a half. And then four, it's everybody that's fighting for
the spot.
That's
why I'm glad they wait until the final to do all the cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get that last game, you had a lot of your second stringers still playing or third string because you didn't have – your roster was getting – shaved down on, 65 people at that point down. You know, he'd already – jettisoned 20 guys – off your roster, so it's much different. But they'll play. But that's okay, though. Like, you can still gain what you want to gain. And that's why, Rob and I were talking about the preseason game against the Cardinals last Friday. We were at the Hollywood Casino. And there was a lot of things you wanted to watch. You know, number one was see Simmons and see how he played. I was more curious about the dynamic between him and Kingsley. Because Joe Tooney was still here. He was first-team All-Pro.
Right.
That's kind of a lot more helpful to a rookie tackle. But watching it, it looked like Simmons was the guy that had been here for 2 years, and Kingsley looked brand new. I mean, it kind of switched roles as far as that was. Because he wasn't bad. It was the first preseason game. I get it. But he still made a glaring hole, and the quarterback could have got lit up. And as Dick Vermeil used to say, football comes down to one or two plays. So, yeah, you can say, oh, it's just one play. If the one play is the quarterback gets nailed by the guy blitzing because you didn't block them and they blindside them and you have a 40% chance of fumbling there and they fumble and flip the field and they win because the Chiefs know all about one-score games.
Oh, yes, they do.
So that does make a difference. So that and then the wide receivers will be my main focus on Friday night. With Jalen Royals getting some more action, I want to see some more Tyquan. see more Brownlee. We did get to see Brownlee out there with Mahomes. I think that was the biggest surprise. But again, with Hollywood not playing, you know, these guys had to step up, and Rasheed, you know, these guys had to step up. So obviously you're going to see Brownlee and Tyquan. But Brownlee was right out there, man. And that was with Mahomes. That was one of the few plays with Mahomes.
The one throw.
The one throw to the Brown, but he was right there for it. So I give him credit. He got himself up to that point.
It was a great catch. I mean, good throw by Mahomes, but that's a tough adjustment as well. That was a big-time play for him. I mean, that was very impressive.
I mean, he's gets played in the NFL, was undrafted, played with the Jets, actually got a touchdown in the NFL. You know, he went to East Mississippi Community College. That's the Last Chance U.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't filming at the time he was there, but then he transferred to Southern Miss, and the rest is history. But he's big and he's physical. It's like what they don't have. Juju should be that, but I don't think Juju plays up to his size. He used to. Back when he was with the Pittsburgh, he laid out Montez Perfect.
His knees aren't that too good.
He doesn't play, but Tyquan Thornton, you know, that guy's, you know, 6'2 as well, and he's got 4.28 speed.
A blazer, yeah.
And he was picked 50, so it's not like he's a sixth round pick, he's seventh round pick, and undrafted. He's a second round pick, and he was a second round pick for a reason. He's got that potential. They just need to bring that potential out of him. So those guys, I definitely am curious to seeing. I mean, so there's some value to me, I think, watching the Friday night game. What'd you really expect? Mahomes to go in there and throw for 250. No, he wasn't going to do it. You saw what happened the first game. And these games are being more and more watered down. I mean, preseason football is going away the dodo bird, man.
Yeah.
It is. These teams are taking it like that. You had the quarterbacks starting to do interviews with street clothes on right there in the first quarter instead of at the half. They're doing it. You see what the Chiefs are doing to the second preseason game? If Mahomes doesn't play this game, I doubt he plays at all in the third one.
Well, look, I'm
one. He doesn't need to.
He doesn't have, exactly. I'm one of the younger football fans, so I kind of gravitate more towards the McVay approach of a preseason where it's like, let's just not risk getting our starters hurt here because, you know, last year, obviously, you have the freak incident with Hollywood Brown in the Jacksonville game, which
set him apart.
They were saying, oh, it's just a, you know, it's a minor clavicle injury. Yeah. He might be back by week 3 or 4. And then all of a sudden in September,
football.
They're like, oh, he might not play this year.
Oh, and then Rice gets hurt game 4. It mattered a lot more.
But at least if you lose a guy in a regular season game, man, you're trying to win. You're going out there. A preseason game, man, it always hurts the worst.
Well, what we're seeing is these teams, the Chiefs and the Raiders, are the only two teams in the league, the only two teams in the 32-team league that don't have a joint practice with somebody else. They're the only ones. And I get it. They value their own defense and offense going against them. But you see teams doing it. Teams actually get more from that than playing preseason games. Like all the teams do joint practice, they get more out of that in situational football than they do the actual preseason game. So I digress. But anyway, coming up next, though, Tom Brady was on Joel Klatt's podcast. I don't know if you saw it or not. But he's I wonder if the Patriot fans are mad about how much he's glossing Mahomes. We hear about all the negativity and guys crushing Mahomes. Brady's going to... Mahomes, next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours, 6:37, Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden. You were training with Julio there before on Thursday nights when I was in here. How's it feel to have the reins now, my bro?
It's fun. It's, you know, still learning the ropes, but... overall, having fun.
Well, we've heard a lot of negativity, right? Towards, is the dynasty done, which is ridiculous. Just wait till everybody gets a taste of the kingdom tomorrow night. They're going to be going crazy. Like, fan bases are going to ruffle your feathers. They will. Because the Chiefs are going to be on, you know, they're not on any other, they're on ESPN. They're on ESPN, and they're going to be front and center. And the Chiefs are going to be spotlighted. I mentioned those billboards that are up and things like that. The kingdom's going to be fun. Like, that's going to be fun. I'll be honest with you. I know you're a Hard Knocks fan. I like Hard Knocks. I like the in-season one, too. I think the Chiefs, the franchise show they do, is just as good as Hard Knocks. To be honest with you, it's basically the same type of deal. And the production staff of the Chiefs, you know, the inner workings with the team. I don't know how you feel about the franchise, but I think it's just as good as Hard Knocks or better.
You know, we'll see. I mean, again, like you said, the ending's not going to be great, but I also kind of am interested to see what that locker room and what those guys were like after losing that Super Bowl and what, you know, that feeling is like after getting beaten like that, because we didn't really get any insight after they lost to Tampa. You know,
except, you know, I remember the Chiefs afterwards were like, you know, the one thing I liked hearing from them is, well, this is fine. It's cute. You know, you made the Super Bowl because, you know, beforehand, if you made the Super Bowl in this town,
throw the parade.
They've only made one I'm over 50, and they'd only won one AFC. They only went to one AFC title game. It was with Joe Montana in '94 when they went and played Buffalo. That was it.
Right.
I mean, it was the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I mean, 21 years without winning a playoff game. It was bleak. I think people forget that. I think they forget the Chiefs' struggle to get where they're at. But that's what happens when you get a quarterback.
They didn't win a home playoff game until I think I was either 17 or 18.
I mean, it changes complexion. People were born and then drinking in a bar legally in the time span the Chiefs didn't win any playoff game.
Absolutely.
It was insane. But they're doing it now. But wait till this kingdom's on.
I'm gonna love it.
It's gonna ruffle their feathers. It's gonna, because Chiefs been relatively quiet until now. Now it's like explosion Chiefs on you once again.
You can't avoid them. They're everywhere.
But even if you're sitting there and you want to hear Tom Brady and you're a Patriots fan, you want to hear the GOAT, right? You want to hear Tom Brady. He's with Joel Klatt, you know, former Colorado quarterback.
Oh,
works
yeah.
for Fox Sports and. Pretty good podcast that he does, and
I watch a ton.
I don't know if he has the 1.2 million numbers.
Probably
that
not.
New Heights have right
probably
now,
not.
Which is insane. It's what's it 1.2 right now?
Last I checked, when we went to break, they're at 1.2 million.
I don't think that the Character Concerns does that.
Don't sell yourself.
I don't think
short.
It'll. Well,
don't sell yourself short.
Oh, Bank. I will. Just a few hardcore football people like that. But anyway, Tom Brady was asked about quarterbacks, and listen to this because this makes 100% sense. Who do you think his favorite quarterback is in the National Football League right now? Who reminds him most of himself? Patriot fans are not going to want to hear this.
Let's hear it.
In the biggest moments, you can depend on him the most.
Are there guys in the league that you really respect the way they go about their business or maybe remind you of you?
I think from afar, I can only tell so much because, you know, if I was in there every day, I could see their habits.
Yeah.
It's always that line about who wants to win versus who's willing to do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, because everyone wants to win.
Everyone wants to win, but what are the habits and the daily habits and the actionable things you need to do every day to put your team in a position to win? So Patrick Mahomes, to me, is the one that does that the most often.
Sure.
Because who he is, I mean, obviously his physical talent, how he understands what he needs to do offensively, and he brings a consistent winning attitude to work every single day. In the biggest moments, you can depend on him the most.
Yeah.
That's clear. There's other guys that are still developing, and they need to prove it before, in my mind, I can say, well, yeah, he's done it. Well, obviously, he hasn't done it yet. They've all shown flashes of amazing things. They're all great players. All of them can make tremendous plays. At some point, they need to take the next step and take, in my mind, more ownership of what they're doing in terms of the organizational level to do more things to empower more people, to get more people on that train or that bus with you to head in the direction you want to go. So I just don't think as a quarterback you go and you punch the clock. I did my job. You know, I threw for 40 touchdowns. Why are we not winning?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing in the offseason to help your defense? What are you doing to push the personnel department to get people doing the right thing? Are you involved in game planning? I mean, I used to do game plans.
Sure.
I used to walk in there and say, these are the things we're doing. Okay, I used to do my own walkthroughs. We're doing our walkthrough.
Right.
We're going to come up with our own signals because this is what I need to be on the field to be successful.
So there you go. Tom Brady lays it right out there, right? There's a whole bunch of talk, but not a lot of do when it comes to certain quarterbacks, right? And you've heard the, you know, we'll have Bill Simmons, you know, his comments. And, you know, we've seen where, you know, Josh Allen's, everybody's, you know, All-American. Everybody loves Josh and what he's doing. But he sits 0-4 against Mahomes in the postseason. Mahomes is a stumbling block for him. Lamar Jackson's 1-4. Versus Mahomes in the regular season and the postseason. It's not good. Last time that Joe and Patrick, they faced off in the AFC title game, who won? Yeah, I think I remember that one too. So, but they all put him ahead of him, and he's the one with rings. Like, a lot of talk, there's a lot of talk about a lot of quarterbacks, but he's the one with rings. So we'll discuss that. I'll take a time out. When we come back, I'll discuss that because he's doing all the things right. When you see, like, Dan Orlovsky put his quarterback thing out there and Mahomes isn't there for mechanics and all this for top 10, what's important and what's not important next?
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden. Just heard from Tom Brady there, glossing Patrick Mahomes. And as the 816 says, what makes that Brady quote even better, this is coming from our Raiders minority owner. So you get twofold with Tom Brady. Well, you get threefold because he's also on Fox. So you get the broadcaster who can't do interviews during the week because he is a broadcaster and because he's an owner. So that kind of hampers that. So he's got to be extra good because he can't really go talk to the players, because why would you talk to him anyway? You don't want him knowing anything. But he sees what he sees, and, you know, screw Orlovsky and all the, you know, rating the quarterback mechanics and arm strength and stuff like that. I mean, when did that become more important than wins and losses? Like, when did that become bigger than wins or losses? Because I want someone that wins games, because that's better. And as Andy Reid said the other day, you know, with Kay Adams when she was up at training camp on the Up and Adams show, you know, she asked Andy Reid what he thought about all the outside noise. Because she knew. I mean, she's going by social media and everything else. Well, everybody's, you know, down on the Chiefs and, you know, the dynasty and all the talking heads that are saying it. It's not the anytime you see these polls that come out, and they're actually like NFL executives and scouts and stuff. It's Mahomes is always number one on those. And then when, you know, talking heads do it, it's different. But yet when the executives do it, it's Mahomes. I mean, because they know what they're talking about. It's much different. But Brady talking about that, that means something, because that dude knew how to win. And he would do walkthroughs and everything else. And, you know, hey, he was part of, you know, bringing in players to fit you. Who do you like? And I think there's been some of that with Mahomes when he has different guys show up to Camp Pat and, you know, he can give advice. Rashee Rice was one of those guys before the Chiefs drafted him that showed up there. And, you know, you get a feel on different guys and you can, you know, get your input. And I certainly, if you're Veach, you know, ears are open to what Mahomes wants in the organization, what Mahomes wants, because you want to keep him happy. Because last year that didn't do him any good when he's sitting there, you know, throwing to a rookie and Justin Watson. When Rice gets hurt in Brown, because you're taking one stab in the draft at wide receivers and not two, he's doing what he can with what he's got. And I think people forget that. They forget that Kelce, you know, had everything else going in the offseason. He admitted it. You know, he admitted that, you know, maybe the pressures of doing the other things in Hollywood and everything else that may have taken away a little bit of backseat. So you're dealing with maybe, even though he did have 97 catches, I will bring up, but maybe you didn't get the production out of him like you have in the past. And he's relied upon. So I think Mahomes kind of had to play with one hand behind his back last year, just a little bit. See what he can do with the full, you know, stage of compliments of players. And in many camps, Reed's like, yeah, we got everybody back. It's great because we can put in the formations and everything else. But then Hollywood Brown's now hurt. And then Rice is going to be suspended. So, you know what? And this is why I like this team going forward, because I like Xavier Worthy even stepping up more than last year. And he can. And you're going to get more than Xavier. Xavier Worthy was good last year towards the end. Nobody better than him in the pro season with the Chiefs. But he's going to be better, and he's going to have to be better this season. He's being relied upon. Last year, they relied upon the rookie Xavier Worthy. Here's the NFL. Go learn it. And it took a while. It took, you know, five or six games to learn it. You know, time and placement on the sideline and whatever. But he'll be ready. But still, Hollywood Brown's still the mystery. And his skill set is a lot like Xavier Worthy, to be honest with you. But it's going to be step up and play, young man, because Hollywood Brown, you know, I've brought up before, he's missed 24 games now since 2021. That's a significant number.
Yeah.
And you bring that up and people say, well, you know what, Jay, you can't really say that because he missed 15 of that last year. And I'm like, okay, well, there was 9 missed games before that.
He was
in 3 seasons.
He was injury prone in Baltimore as well.
So it happened. Yeah, he is 1 year where he played all 16. There's 16 as well, but that was a 17-game season in 21 when the NFL switched to 17 games, but he was week 10, and he missed that game as well. So he has missed those games. Then 3 and 4 when you start going forward, then 15 last year. So you can't count on that. You can't always count on that. And if you do count on it, you're a fool because it's proven unreliable.
Yeah, I think the point you made about Worthy, it kind of goes back to Rice as well, right? Rice's rookie year, he had to be the guy as they went through the season because they just didn't have reliable targets. Tony wasn't getting it done. Watson wasn't getting it done. Sky Moore wasn't getting it done. And then remember in that postseason, Rice went off. Had a great game against the Dolphins.
Oh, Rice is his dude. When I look at the
big catches
you have in
the Super Bowl.
Reggie Wayne, your Marvin Harrison, like, you know, Manning hand. I think Rice is that dude. Rice has got the chemistry. Rice is going to be that second contract guy.
He's
going to be Mahomes' guy. He does a lot of the dirty work like Kelce does. And when Kelce's, you know, goes, you know, retires and everything else, it'll be Rashee Rice because he counts on him.
But Bink, I saw a lot of Rashee Rice and Worthy last year as Worthy had to be the guy last year. He got thrown into it. And by the time the postseason came around, he was stepping into that confidently. He played great against Buffalo. I know they got beat badly in the Super Bowl, but he had a good game against Philly. I could see that kind of working out last year where Rice's injury progressed Worthy even faster than he maybe would have without
him. No, he did, and there was the knock on him, you know, combine, Chiefs are enabled, you know, enamored by the combine guy. Well, that's not the case, because Xavier Worthy blew the Chiefs away before he even ran the 40. He did it in the meeting rooms, you know, when he's diagnosing plays and what other guys should be doing, not just him. It blew him away when Reed was talking to Sark at Texas, you know, former BYU guy, because Andy Reed talks to those guys. Because Sark's recommendation for him. It blew him away when he was, you know, academic all Big 12. When you find out he's more than just a speed guy, he's very durable. And despite his size, he did lead Texas in yards and receptions for three straight years. That's Texas now.
That's Texas.
Not Eastern Michigan. That's Texas.
That's not Tulane.
In two of those 3 years, he led him in touchdowns and was second in the other one. So he can do more than vertical, more than nine. He can do a lot of different things. He can run the route tree. And he's a lot tougher than I think people realize he is. But he did have to step up mentally to be in the guy.
I think a lot of people have the durability concerns just because of his size. But if anything, like going into it now, he stayed healthy, and that's probably the lightest he's going to be. He's only going to bulk up a little more as he gets into his physical prime.
But you have to think about what went into him, because I always thought Rice had a lot of pressure the year before, you know, being that guy.
Right.
And wasn't a first-rounder. Worthy was. So there's natural pressure that comes on with first-rounders. But it wasn't going to be all that pressure because Hollywood Brown was here, same skill set, and Rashee Rice was here, and then boom, they get hurt, and you're all of a sudden the number one target for a back-to-back Super Bowl team, winning team, trying to make their third Super Bowl. That was a lot of pressure, man. Like, he dealt with a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it was not easy. And he, like I said, when the postseason came around, he really stepped up and played his part. And he did a good job during the regular season as well. I know him and Mahomes missed on a couple deep balls throughout the season that they should have hit on. But again, he was a rookie. The timing wasn't there yet. I think year two could have big things in store for Xavier Worthy.
Back to the text line, 913-586-7965, the J Southland Tow Service text line. 816 says, I'm a hardcore Chiefs fan since Steve DeBerg. Steve DeBerg was awesome, by the way. But kind of wonder if Patrick will take a small step back when Kelce retires. Just curious.
I would say
I don't think so.
I would say look at his numbers and games Kelce's missed. He's been all right.
I don't think so.
He's been all right.
Granted, he's been his outlet, but you know,
he's the safety blanket.
But
sure.
Rice is starting to become that. And I know the suspensions once you get out of the way. But going forward, Rice has kind of been that dude. Different positions, but they do a lot of the same things. But Noah Gray's elevation has been much better. And Robert Tonyan's been one of these dudes that's going to make the team.
He should.
He's a pro's pro. He's been in the NFL. He's 31 years old. This isn't a rookie. This isn't, you know, a guy that's in his second year in the NFL, been on practice. No, this guy's been a starter in the NFL, and he's had over 50 catches twice in a season when he's in Green Bay.
Had a big year in Green Bay the year Rodgers won MVP in 2020.
So he's done it before, and I expect that more, but if the Chiefs run a lot of 12 personnel and 13 personnel with two and three tight ends, and I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine. Now, that's huge chemistry those guys got. Huge chemistry those guys got, especially in the postseason. Like, there's nothing better. Like, I will say this about Travis. He is – there's two guys that are at the top of the list in the postseason, the three categories that matter: receptions, yards, and touchdowns. And right now it's only Jerry Rice and Kelce. That's it. That's one and two. And in two of the three, Rice has got it. He's got touchdowns only by two, though, 22 to 20. One good postseason could tie him up or pass him, right? He's got him in yards just by 167. So, again, that's could be knocked off as well. Kelce has already got him in receptions in the postseason. So, Kelce already won, and that Rice is two. There's a chance, a good postseason run, and he's 1-1-1. That just shows you how much Mahomes
could
has
happen.
Relied on him in his 17 freaking postseason wins. Whew. We talk about the postseason drought and winning games. Not postseason drought. They were getting there, but not winning games.
Right.
17. Number two all time, and he's not even 30. Yeah. Not even 30.
Turns 30 in what, next month?
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Unreal. Unreal.
And that's when guys take off in their career. Well, Bill Simmons from The Ringer, he commented. He's got a co-host. I don't know who this co-host is, but anyway, he made more sense than Bill Simmons did, to be quite honest with you.
It doesn't surprise me.
And play you that next, but we'll get some negativity now. We did positivity with Brady. Let's go negativity
hour next. Hour two negativity. All right.
Negativity next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views on your home.